If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Astar Command. Let's begin with a little attunement. Let's take a deep breath. And relax. And you'll notice, perhaps, as you attune, that you'll find your body begin to rock back and forth. Some do that, some don't. I find I always do. And you may see behind your closed eyes a brilliant purple light, which is the presence of the divine beloved. So take another deep breath, and as you do, have a conscious intent to connect with the highest divine God source that you possibly can. Deep breath. And invite the Holy Spirit to fill you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet with a spirit of discernment, clarity, peace, divine love, and perfect divine guidance. And tonight I would like to begin with a message that was given to me by Jesus. And he gave me the instructions to share it as far and wide and as fast as possible. So in a meditative state, let's just embrace of this message from our beloved elder brother. I want you to tell my people that I am coming very soon now. I am coming with my arms opened wide, and I want them to be ready and watching for me. I want their hearts to be clear of unforgiveness and grievance, and to be filled with my love. I am returning for my own, who will be open to receive me. Those who do not welcome me will not see me. They will be unaware of my coming, but will come to know only that I came and took my own, and they were left behind. My eyes are raining tears for the many who will not be watching for me, whose hearts have become filled with earthbound cares and affections. Those ones will be very shocked and saddened to realize what they had heard you and others speak of was indeed true, but they would not listen. Now it is too late, and they must stand and face what is shortly to transpire upon the earth. Therefore, be my swift messenger and shout from the housetops. Arise, awaken, the Lord is coming. Wake up and watch. Now is not the time to be asleep and unaware. Great events cast their shadow upon the world. The Lord is coming for his people. Be counted amongst them. The time is now. Listen and hear what I am saying. See, really see, what day you are living in. And I received that on the morning of August the 24th, 2004, which was a couple months before the great tsunami hit in Banda Aceh, Sumatra. So I was just told the other day to repost it to my website and also to read it on the radio show. I watched yesterday the History Channel. I was mesmerized. I couldn't turn it off. They had one after another of episodes devoted to the prophecies of Nostradamus. In fact, it was called the Nostradamus Effect. But they brought in biblical references from Revelation and Matthew, the chapter 24, where Jesus describes the way the world will be just prior to his coming. And what was interesting to me was that they didn't bring in the naysayers or the controversy or any of that. They simply very clearly shared what Nostradamus said and what Jesus said and what was prophesied in the Bible about these times. And they spoke about the world situation, the coming of the Christ, the rapture, the immediate emergence of this charismatic figure that they call the Antichrist, right after the lifting or the rapture, and what will happen based on prophecy and the things that Nostradamus has shared, what will exactly transpire on the earth for the people who are left behind. And as I said before, I've been a student of prophecy for many, many years, and I found it fascinating as well as somewhat horrifying, because never have we seen so many of those signs in the daily news as we do today. Literally, when they're even talking about it on mainstream media and on the channels, the cable channels, you know, and they're putting it in the movies, everybody is aware, it seems, that we are in those times. And how we can prepare spiritually, psychologically. When I was on Commander Elion's show on the 17th, Ashtar spoke, and he was very, very serious. And I could sense the sadness in what he was saying as well, because it seems that we have entered a time when it's going to be more catastrophic than what it perhaps needed to have been had we perhaps availed ourselves in greater numbers of the grace and the time that we were given. Apparently, from what I understand, we've been given a good 20 extra years to catch up spiritually. Jesus gave the Course in Miracles. I was present when Sai Baba said in 1979 that the sins of all the people who were on a spiritual, conscious spiritual path had been forgiven. And then later, Lord Sananda said the same thing around 1988, that all the sins had been wiped clear from those people who were on a conscious spiritual path. And from this time on to go forth and basically sin no more. You know, get your lives in order and live right, live righteously, live according to divine protocol and the higher laws of Dharma. So, have we done that? Well, I don't know. Read the newspaper, read the Bible, and check it out for yourself. But it seems that as much as we awaken, it seems like we fall right back asleep afterwards. And we get really engaged, and then we fall back into the same stupor. So if you study history and the history of previous root races and cultures, you will see that they all have their beginning, their peak, and then their gradual decline, and eventually their end. And in terms of the root races, each ended with a series of underground volcanic explosions and a series of massive earthquakes, usually with a polar shift, and then they were submerged in the sea. I was doing a little research, and every one of the previous root races, we've had the Polarian, the Hyperborean, the Lemurian, the Atlantean, now we have the Adamic, and we've got, according to some teachings, 12 root races in all. So we're just barely in the middle, or entering the middle, of this whole cycle, not quite even in the middle. So this is what happened to Lemuria, and the most recent root race, Atlantis, is they both were destroyed by volcanic gases, actually, that were in chambers under the earth. We can assume it was volcanic. Earthquakes, a polar shift, and massive submergence. So in the turn of the cycles of time, which tend to repeat, we are now in what has been termed the equivalency of where Atlantis was just before it started being destroyed, the decline of Atlantis. And this has also been referred to as the end times. And the decline of our present civilization, I think, is pretty clearly seen all about us, as well as on television on the evening news. The question many of us who think of ourselves as the forces of light, we all want to know what we can do, what can we practically do in the face of what looks and appears to be the dismantling and the decline of everything that we have based our daily lives on and our civilization and the things that we've become used to. For better or for worse, in our society. So I guess we have to really look at what the decline entails in previous civilizations to see how we can perhaps, at least in our own lives, rectify it somewhat in terms of our own personal protocols. Before the decline of any civilization, the first sign is a decline in moral restraint and decency, and the increase of self-indulgent and self-destructive habits and lifestyles. The second sign is rebellion against authority and lawlessness in every form seems to abound. And with it, with lawlessness, comes an increasing of conflict, divorce, wars, criminal activity, destruction, and chaos. And so it's like people get into this destructive downward spiral, and they cause a destruction, which then eventually wipes that civilization and that root race off the face of the earth. Last week I spoke about the many ways that we would be translocated, lifted, delivered, shifted, according to our light quotient, in terms of the light crew, the volunteer spirits have come here to be of service, and it was a positive outpicturing. But by the same token, the immediacy with which I'm being guided to share certain things with you makes me feel that we could literally be shifted in some way or another at any moment, any point, and we really need to be ready. How can you be ready when you don't know what you're getting ready for? Well, as we have been sharing all along, the main area of preparation is the raising of your personal vibratory frequency, your light quotient. And the only thing that will do that, really, truly speaking, is filling yourself from morning to night with love and loving, caring actions. That's really the only thing that raises your vibration, is to live a life as closely attuned to the Christ, Jesus Christ pattern as you possibly can. You know, the old question is, what would Jesus do now? Or what would love do now? Those are good questions to ask yourself when you're up against the choice. What would love do now? What would Jesus do now in this situation? And that will land you in absolutely the best possible clarity of what you're to do from moment to moment. So, what caused the fall and desolation of Atlantis and its eventual destruction was primarily Frankenscience, you know, Frankenstein-type science, where the fallen mind engaged in scientific manipulations that were devoid of the three H's, humanity, heart, and holiness. And the most dangerous characteristic that can arise in a human being is personal power, particularly when it's applied scientifically, where it has no sense of humanity or heart or holiness, where it's just that ego mind that is always power and manipulation crazed. And when it gets in the realm of science, it knows no boundaries. So science without heart, and power without purity of character, and leadership devoid of the leading of the divine spirit, all doom a person, a civilization, or a root race to destruction. It's just what happens. We are tampering with things now that we have no right to touch. Things are going on in covert and hidden areas of the planet, off planet, in space stations, in all sorts of planning on the drawing board that are absolutely courting the destruction of our planet. And how much can be mitigated or averted is, it's hard to tell now. It looks like if it gets too bad, the Earth will actually attract an asteroid, which will disrupt it. So that's what happens when something becomes so negative in its intent, it attracts destruction. So many of the tendencies and behaviors that cause the downfall and decline and destruction of Atlantis are very prevalent on Earth today. And it just appears that people on Earth are repeating the cycle of Atlantis all over again. Now bear in mind, Atlantis was a very long root race that started out originally as a gift of the spiritual hierarchy to indigenous humanity, which evolved from the previous life station, which was the moon. The galactic masters lived openly upon the earth and carefully monitored humanity and their spiritual unfoldment. However, about mid to towards the end of the cycle of Atlantis, about three-fourths of the way through, two extraterrestrial races invaded the Earth and began to tamper with the DNA, doing experiments in DNA manipulation and mixing and gene splicing and cloning and creating hybrid creatures for a slave race, part animal and part man. That was when Elohim, at that point, made it impossible for cross-mating of different species. They put the end to that later on in the present root race. But at the time of Atlantis, and that, fall period, the fallen ones were using mind control, and the darkest forms of sorcery, which involve mind-altering drugs, and exerting other forms of psychic power to manipulate and exploit human beings. This was the world and the race of humanity that the Elohim, it's recorded in the Bible, they actually regretted ever making man. And Atlantis was subsequently destroyed by a great flood, as we all know. So the flood, which wiped the land and her population off the face of the earth, was so severe that we're told that only 8 people were forewarned and guided in their preparation and saved from that root race. And that was Noah and his family, which were 8 people. So today, the earth is at a similar place in the cycle of time. And seeing an increase of so many of these same practices that brought Atlantis down into the depths of the sea. So Earth has every form of Frankenscience and weird genetic manipulation and cloning and all sorts of stuff, which is what happens when people are so ignorant of universal law and righteousness and the proper morality that has to govern behavior. Otherwise, you have absolute chaos. But there's no recognition of a divine creator who has set forth specific divine protocols for behavior. It's all holds, everything can take place that people want to do. So here we have lawlessness, rebellion, sorcery, the dark arts, psychic mind control, behavior modification, psychotronic warfare, subliminal and hypnotic embedded suggestions in advertising, and even in certain forms of music. So we live in a time in which people call evil good and admire criminal activity and ridicule good people and call good things evil. So everything is just like topsy-turvy now. And you really have to be a strong soul and really have a really strong connection to spirit and to the Holy Spirit of guidance within you to keep on the right track. So the elders of all religious traditions, and the divinely inspired scriptures foretold these exact times in great detail and of the destruction that will come to cleanse the planet of all evil prior to the dawning of the new golden age upon a renewed earth. So the people of God, the righteous of any root race, though usually few in number, are always removed prior to the destruction. You'll need to do your own research if you want validation of that. But I think it's worth researching so that you know for yourself and you're just not listening to somebody else who's done all the thinking. So we're now at the time just prior to what I and many believe will be the time of our lifting from this world. My understanding is that many people now are having dream encounters with a person dressed in white. Could be a man or a woman, could be Christ, but they're being in some way invited to step into the higher consciousness in some form. Some of us are having dreams of being ascended, turning into white light, lifting. I thought it was interesting in the rapture segment of the Nostradamus effect, how they kept showing these scenes of where people would just vanish. You know, like the pilots in the cockpit were there one moment and the next they're gone. People in cars suddenly vanished and the cars were crashing. People in different offices and occupations, they would stand there and then you'd just see them dematerialize. And if you can imagine, there's been a whole series of books called the Left Behind series. I haven't read them because I don't want to be left behind, so I don't want to think about being left behind and put energy into that. But I understand they've sold in the millions. Very, very popular with people. So that would tell me there's an awful lot of people that are preparing to be left behind. But that's totally unnecessary. You don't have to be left behind. All you have to do is accept Christ into your life and follow him absolutely with obedience and steadfast love, and you'll be carried out of this world just fine. But you got to do that. You know, there's really, I don't think, any other way that you can negotiate this. So certain people have the keys to multidimensional soul transcendence, and that would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who calls himself the door that no man can shut, and the way, and the truth, and the life, and the only way that we can return to the Father, according to Jesus, is through him. Now, many people justify that and say, well, he didn't really mean him. He meant this or he meant that. But you know what? An awful lot of the scriptures are to be taken literally. And I think it's probably very risky behavior to second-guess or to doubt things that have been proving to be incredibly accurate for many, many decades, and particularly now we're seeing the accuracy, the point-blank accuracy of these ancient prophets. So people today tend to just go on like they did in the days of Noah. You know, they eat and they drink and they party and they waste time and they, you know, they kick back and they give very, very little thought, I would think, in, you know, what's life all about? Why am I here? And who and what is God? And how can I know God? And how can I experience God? You know, you hear the average person talk and they don't talk about that sort of thing at all. It's as if God didn't even have any place to be considered in their lives, except maybe if they're in a, you know, a dire situation, I need a supernatural miracle. So I know it's difficult to sort the presence and the relationship that God would like to have us experience when we have been indoctrinated for so many centuries with the concept of a God being outside of us, on a throne somewhere that we can't see, and relegate to a, you know, a nominal church experience at best once a week. But what we're being called to is to experience the presence within us, the presence of God, which fills you and you experience it with such absolute love that you feel like you're going to explode, with such peace and such joy that no matter what happens on the outer, it's like, oh, you don't even notice it. It's the best anesthetic you could ever want to take to anesthetize you from the pain and the worry and the angst that most people just think is a normal part of daily life. I'll tell you, when you start courting the presence of God within you, breathing you, living you, thinking through you, loving through you, empowering you, when you start experiencing that, I'll tell you, you know, you can leave in the next nanosecond and not look back, because it develops in you such an unshakable conviction of love and protection and security that you live in that. You know, God is called a strong fortress and a strong tower and the rock of salvation. All of these metaphors that imply that protection that you live when you dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. The 91st Psalm, look it up, the 91st Psalm, and read it and apply it to your life and your family and your loved ones. That is how we are meant to live. So, seriously speaking, if Jesus were to come tonight to seize you, snatch you suddenly from this world, would you be ready? Are you rapture ready? Have you given this any thought at all? You know, I hear so many people, particularly in the New Age, speak about ascension as if it was some sort of Olympic gymnastic training. You do this and you do that and you eat this and you don't eat that and you create your Merkaba and you do these mantras and this and that and the other thing. But very few, if any of them, speak of God and loving God or how dependent, utterly dependent each one of us is on His mercy and grace to deliver them. I mean, you just don't hear people depending and relying and trusting in God. They have more trust in themselves. And yes, God is within, but the self that we put trust in is not the personal human self. It's the divine self. So, speaking in terms of the scriptures, the biblical scriptures don't mention anything at all about man working on his own ascension. The scriptures do say very clearly that salvation is a gift we receive by grace and not by works, lest any one of us should start boasting and claiming the credit for ourselves. So we can't do enough works of our own mind and flesh and human effort to save us, to ascend us, to make us rapture ready, to lift us. The only thing we can do is make room for the divine spirit to fully indwell and inhabit and source through us. And we do that by coming very, very humbly to Jesus and asking Him to take charge and command of every area of your life. And then you follow Him. You listen to Him. You learn to hear His voice. He says you can hear His voice. If you're one of His sheep, you recognize His voice and you won't follow anyone else. You will listen to Him and follow Him. That is the one way you can be prepared for this lifting, whether you call it the being beamed up or the rapture or being caught up with the Lord or whatever you want to call it. Bottom line is, do you want to stay and participate in an earth that's going to be completely cleansed by every means possible and rid of all evil during 7 years, which the prophecies of Nostradamus in the Bible and the Hopi and everyone and the Mayans say is going to be a living hell? You don't want to stay. You don't want to be left behind. So you need to get right with God right this instant if you haven't already done it. Just ask. Because the scriptures say also that whomsoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the call emanates from our whole mind, our soul, every part of us, from the depths of our innermost being. That is the call that evokes a divine response. So it's a, you know, you get so desperate that you yell out with all your might for that divine Savior. Because if we didn't need a Savior, one would not have been sent. So I sense we are on the very eve of such dramatic earth events that we may not have any time left to do this, to get ready. We have to be ready now. Ready for what, you might ask? Well, for one thing, to meet your Creator face to face and to enter eternity. What is eternity? Timeless existence. Can we know what that's like? I don't think so. We're in a body using a mind that is completely made of the warp and woof of time. We're under old Chronos, old Kal. Kal is the spirit of time. So that's what we're bound to in this human body, is the time spirit. So to enter eternity is obviously a divine act of God that we just simply make room for and surrender into and allow it to happen. So I was thinking, you know, as I was preparing for the show tonight, wow, I remember back in the 70s 70s and 80s when people would go have interviews with Sai Baba. And a friend of mine asked him what she should do. And he looked at her and he said, prepare to die. Well, obviously it freaked her out. But then we found out that he had said that to many people who had asked him, what are we to do? And to everyone, Baba said, prepare to die. Now, my friend went on to live a very long and full life, many years beyond those interviews. So Sai Baba's response to her made many realize that every one of us needs to be prepared to die. In fact, Sai Baba likens it to having the paparazzi, they're hovering, and you have to look your best and be ready at any moment to have your picture taken. And he says the spirit of death is stalking us as well, just like Don Juan told Carlos Castaneda, your death is stalking you. You have to be prepared every moment to step into that beyond the beyond. So it's very, very practical to give thought to these things now, because even though we go into denial about it and we think, oh, well, that'll never happen to me, it will happen to you. And it will happen to everyone, more or less, unless something supernatural like the rapture or the dimensional shift intervenes. If that does, great. If it doesn't, better prepare to die. Because one way or another, we're going to leave this planet. And most will physically die. And then we will all have to give an account for our every thought, word, and deed before Christ in the day of judgment for this cycle. That's just what happens. Whether you want to call that a life review or looking at your Akashic records or an interview with the masters, whatever, it all boils down to the same thing. You're going to have to give an accounting for how you lived your life and the choices you made. Whoa, not too fun, is it? So some of the predominant things that Jesus has spoken about in the chapter 24 of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, I think I need to go over with you, because they are so subtle now that if you aren't on your toes, you're just going to be swept into all sorts of stuff. In fact, Jesus warned that even the elect will be deceived during these times. So the number one characteristic of the age of the Iron Age or the Kali Yuga that we're in is deception. You really, really can't go by the words of people's mouth. You really have to look at their life. What are they doing with their lives? Forget what they're saying. Forget what they're writing. What is the life? What is the behavior? And that's really difficult when you live your life in cyberspace, because people adopt phony names and phony personas, and you think you have a really good friend, although you've never met them face to face. You have no idea what their behavior is like. And yet we tend to follow these people because most of us live our lives now in front of a computer. So we don't have the same kind of ability to tune into the hearts of people and to see how they live their lives or to see any evidence of a true character. So the second thing that we need to watch out for are false prophets and false Christs. We have all sorts of people out there that do not have the mantle of a prophet, like Isaiah or Daniel or Jeremiah or some of the really, really great prophets, Elijah, the great prophets that were always 100% accurate. I mean, you'll hear people boast, oh, I'm 80% accurate, or I'm usually 90% accurate. The prophets of Israel, of Judea, had to be 100% accurate. If they weren't, they got stoned. Not stoned on substance, stoned with rocks. So they had no room for error. But consider this. The prophet Isaiah, some 800 plus years before the incarnation of Jesus of Nazareth, gave the exact description of what the Messiah would do, even down to the words that he was to speak when he was crucified on the cross, even to the fact that his body would never suffer corruption and would be raised incorruptible. Every little thing. How could somebody do that? Well, they could do that if they came back in time now, couldn't they? Okay, so now you have a little secret. Those prophets came back in time, having seen what would befall humanity. And that's why they're always accurate. Why were they accurate? They were spiritual travelers. Every one of the ancient patriarchs of Israel, every one of them was a spiritual traveler, which meant they had the ability to travel above the timeline, enter at different points of history, review the choices and the parallel probable realities, and they had the keys of soul transcendence to point out the pitfalls and to show people what they needed to do to transcend those areas and those snares. So that's why it's so valuable to read the Bible and the Abrahamic covenants and the different covenants that were formed by the creator gods, the Elohim, to humanity. Why? Because the Adamic root race, or sometimes what's called the Aryan race, but the Aryan has nothing to do with skin. It has the color of skin. It has to do with the mind. So I prefer to use the term Adamic or Adamic race because we descended from Adam. And the things that caused the downfall in Atlantis were precisely the things that we were warned not to get involved with by the early Jewish patriarchs, Abraham and Moses and Joshua. These great souls very carefully guided the people that were the chosen ones at that time to exemplify a people consecrated to God. So, anyway, you can read the book and decide for yourself. But there's lots of people who call themselves prophets, but I would not call them prophets. I would call them psychics. And usually when information comes down, quote, quote, from higher levels, the first people who receive it generally are psychic sensitives who can only receive distortions because the astral psychic plane is the plane of imagination and distortion. So you can't really see clearly in the astral light without tremendous training and at least 10 years of pure vegetarianism, according to the Master DK. Takes tremendous training to see clearly in the astral light. And that's where most psychics read from and no higher. Many claim to be Christ right now. That's a really sticky area because, in one sense, we're all the sons of God. We all have a Christ consciousness that we call the soul, or the divine spirit indwelling. But we're not the anointed one who came as the Messiah. Big difference. And yet people sometimes will get real vainglorious. They'll tap into a little bit of soul awareness, and man, they're off and running. They think they're the next avatar and the next savior and the next Christ and the next leader to whatever. So these are mostly people who are in deception. They're self-deluded through their own sense of self-importance. And you just have to not put any wood on their fire. Just kind of leave them alone and let them sort it out because they're too proud to listen to you. And they'll be very angry if you try to confront them, but recognize them and don't fall into that trap. I'll tell you, someone who carries that divine consciousness that we call the anointed state of unconditional pure love. They're also the most absolutely humble, self-effacing people you would ever want to meet. You never hear them claiming that they're great in any way, shape, or form. They just don't go there. So take that as a sign that you have a false Christ or a false master or a false prophet when they start blowing their own horn. And there you go, false masters. There's plenty of them. I mean, they're on every corner now. And as I've said many, many times, a true master will never divulge his or her mastery. Never, ever, ever. Underlined, no exceptions. I have met many ascended masters, and they will never claim that they're a master. Another thing that we have a lot of deception is in false doctrine. False doctrine is doctrine that ignores the need for a holy life, a Christ-like life, and bypasses the need for salvation through Christ. And you have plenty of that out there. I call it ego candy doctrine. It's, you know, it makes you feel good in your ego without the need to confront your sin and to repent and to live a holy and God-centered life. So it makes you feel all, you know, like you got everything going, but really you're just running falsehood and ego and deception. So a life and a doctrine that ignores the work of the cross, that ignores Jesus the Christ and his preeminency. It says in the Bible that every knee and every tongue will proclaim Jesus is Lord. Everyone in the heavens, everyone upon earth, no exceptions. So it's very important to realize that these feel-good kind of warm, fuzzy channelings and doctrines and everything, they don't mean doodly squat. If they don't confront your ego and its need to absolutely go to the cross, you know, the symbol of the crucifixion was for all of us. We all have to crucify the flesh. The flesh has to die. That carnal self, that worldly self, that selfish and self-seeking part of us has got to go to the cross. And through the atonement of Jesus and the blood that he shed, he remitted. That means he canceled, erased, and washed clean the stain that had come upon us as a curse from the fall and willful disobedience and rebellion that occurred in the beginning of the root race, which is really man following the enticements of the reptilian and draconian races. That's really the snake in the garden was really the beguilement that came from fallen ETs that took, and you know, the fall, even though in spirit it was corrected, it occurred and corrected out of time in an instant. You know, it sounds like an oxymoron, which it was, because we don't understand timelessness. But in terms of the evolution and the time on the planet, the fall took place under a very long period of time. For all we know, it could have took millions of years. But we bought into the fallen extraterrestrials and the fallen reptilians and the fallen draconians and followed their heartless Franken-science. For what? For power, control, manipulation, which is what the ego loves. The ego candy is self-importance and self-power, and it doesn't give a rat's bum for holiness. It can't conceive of holiness. It can't conceive of humility or obedience. It's just, you know, it's just the false self. It's everything that edges God out of the equation. So again, we have a time of false hearts, adulterous hearts, hearts that are uncircumcised, in other words, hearts that have not been cut free of the heavy armor of ego and all that goes with that. Those hearts are not capable of loving or being true. They're adulterous. They have the wandering eyes that are ever hungry, always seeking for what is better and next. And they have no idea of what it is to consecrate and concentrate and focus upon one and to know the trueness of genuine, selfless, pure love. So we have, you know, false marriages and false hearts and false promises and false speech and insincerity everywhere we look in this particular age under the deluding spirit of the Kul power. Kul Kali is the spirit of darkness that binds humanity to time and to darkness and to death. And the age of Kali Yuga is the age when everything goes downhill and you have a complete absence of the desire for morality and righteousness, which, interestingly enough, the Dark Age is followed by the Golden Age. But to get to the Golden Age, you have to have the whole planet cleansed of evil, which, as I have said, usually occurs with a series of volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, pole shift, and a dunk in the briny deep. And then the land, new land masses rise to the surface, and a new seed program, another root race, is placed upon the planet. So these are long cycles that take place. And if we, I'm not going to say anything more about that. Now, another area we have to watch out for that I've spoken about off and on are fallen angels and ETs. And beings that come out of what's called the astral plane, which again is the plane of distortion, illusion, emotion, feeling, phenomena, razzle-dazzle. And within the astral plane, there are millions and millions of planetary worlds and beings that inhabit this plane. It's huge. It's twice the size of the physical dimension. It's also called in the Bible the second heaven. And in Hinduism, it's called the subtle world. So all fallen beings are exploitive, self-serving. They all have agendas. They all want to gain access to the earth. And they can only do that through you, since you've been given authority on the earth. And if possible, they would like to possess your body and enter it. And they would like to also influence and possess your emotional and mental bodies, which we call the soul, because they don't have one. And so they're jealous of you, and they would like to access yours, which is why I always say avoid UFOs and anything that has to do with people who are trying to come here with their own agendas. You don't need to be involved in that at all. The higher ultra-terrestrial ascended Christ races, they don't channel, they don't implant you, they don't take you aboard ship and mate with you, they don't probe your body, they leave you alone. They telepathically impress your consciousness with color and light and sound codes that are downloaded without infringing your free will. You have to give, at the soul plane level, access to the higher consciousness, which means you can't be self-serving, exploitive, and negative yourself and running ego yourself if you want contact with the higher divine beings, for example, of the Ashtar Command, the real Ashtar Command. There's also a phony, false, deceptive Ashtar Command on the astral plane. And by their fruits, you shall know them. So you'll have to discern. Just because somebody says they're Ashtar Command or Ashtar Commander or whoever, you got to really discern. And the only thing that's going to discern is the divine spirit within you and a very pure heart. You know, when you've got a white suit on, every little speck shows up. And when you're white, really white and clean and clear, and your consciousness really pure, you can sense a dissonance and a negative energy. It's like that burr under the saddle blanket. You just immediately know it's there. Again, the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit by which you discern people is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, humility, tolerance, and self-control. When you have those in evidence, really consistently in evidence, you have a person that is spirit-filled, that has been baptized in the fire of the divine spirit, and they radiate these qualities consistently. Oh, granted, it's a work in process because it takes a long time to consistently build in these behaviors. But from the day of your salvation, you will notice a shift in every area of your life. And greater love, greater joy, greater peace, greater goodness, greater gentleness, greater kindness, greater humility, greater patience, tolerance, and greater self-control. Just goes with the territory. Now, consequently, the fruit of the, what could we call it? Not fruit exactly. The nasties. The nine nasties. Instead of love, when you're dealing with a negative entity, they'll give a sense of fear and foreboding. It's always like a mood of dark and depressive energy that comes in. Instead of joy, you'll have depression. You'll have that oppressive, heavy feeling. Instead of peace, you'll have agitation, confusion, doubt. Your mind will feel like a crazy ferret. Instead of goodness, you'll have ill will. You know, there's actually people that go around, instead of goodwill, they have ill will. Instead of gentleness, you'll have harshness and cruelty. Instead of kindness, you'll have mean-spiritedness, rudeness. Instead of humility, you'll have pride and arrogance. Instead of tolerance and patience, you'll have impatience and intolerance and prejudice and hatred and judgment, all those things. Instead of self-control, you'll have licentious self-indulgence, where the flesh is just governing the body and given to all sorts of unholy excesses. So you could tell people by their behavior, by their speech, by even the way they keep their environment around them. So open your eyes and keep working to make your own life as beautiful and as divine as you possibly can. Now, in terms of discerning that negative power, that negative energy, which we've come to collectively call Satan, bear in mind it always comes not with the horns and the tail and the whole archetypal sign of the pitchfork and the whole nine yards. That power comes as an angel of light. It will be flattering your ego. It will be talking all sorts of things that puff you up and make you feel great, even though you know you're living a really, really negative life. They'll make you feel like you're just an ascended master walking in the clouds. And it's very seductive. They can't feign real love, but what they feign and imitate is kind of a seductive, it's like a sexy seduction that seduces you and entices you and enchants you and engages you. It's like, you know, if you've ever been with someone, you can't live with them and you can't live without them. One of those things, you know, the fatal attraction is very, very characteristic of the lower extraterrestrials that we call Satan or Luciferians. And this power appeals to your areas of greatest weakness and temptation. Knows you better than you know yourself. So if you've got a weakness towards self-importance or greed or envy or whatever your thing is, lack of self-esteem, guilt, condemnation, suicide, murderous intent, feelings. Well, go in there and exacerbate that and make them even stronger. It's that voice that whispers in your mind to kill yourself or to do harm to someone else. The Holy Spirit never, never says anything that would cause you or another harm. But that voice of the dark power is called the accuser of the brethren. So it will accuse you by bringing up and flaunting your past weaknesses and mistakes. It will speak to you in terms of you're a failure or you'll never amount to anything. It always bad talks you, bad mouths you. There's never anything, ever, that comes out that builds you up in your holiness and confidence in God that comes from the dark power. Just know that. It always promises you things of the material world and the senses. Like the promise, you know, of 72 virgins if you blow yourself and others up. No, that's the voice of Satan. That's the voice of negative power, whose only agenda is to rob, kill, and destroy. So he loves death and destruction. And he's called the father of lies. So lying is his native tongue. He can't speak truth. He can't perceive truth. He can't understand truth. You know, he just can't even go there. So the other thing he does is to cause you to question and doubt God's word and God's absolute authority. Always the one that's got the, did God say that? Nah, God didn't mean you. You know, so he always counters God's word, but he knows God's word better than you do. He knows the scriptures, and moreover, every one of the demonic hordes know that Jesus is the Son of God. They all know who Jesus is. They all know the true followers of Jesus. They all know the Bible, forward, backward, and upside down. But they usually twist the scriptures so that it serves your weakest nature and your areas of temptation. So these are important things for you to be aware of, because it's like walking in a minefield. You got to really use all of your intuitive sensitivity. Like Chris Angel, I was watching him out here at Edwards Air Force Base. He was walking in a field in which they had put, oh gosh, I forget how many mines, and he had to step on these different patches of board, not knowing which one had a mine underneath. The only thing he could depend on was his own intuitive sensitivity. Otherwise, if he made a wrong step, he would have blown himself to smithereens. So that's how sensitive we need to be in walking through this labyrinth of duality that we call the third density and fourth density Earth, to move into this highest dimension of the fifth dimension, the Christ consciousness level, living love, only living love and purity and divinity and the brightest light that you are can pass into that higher dimension. So that is what you focus on, and that is what you need to pay attention to. Now, there are some signs that you can tell that a person has an unregenerated heart and an unrenewed mind. One of the first things that happens when you accept salvation and you put yourself fully and completely under the Lordship of Jesus is that your heart is immediately transformed. It's immediately reborn. It's like your lights are switched on. Your divine connection is reconnected. You're reanimated in your spirit. And the renewal of your mind begins to take place from inside out. The Holy Spirit fills you and begins to live inside you as its dwelling place. You become the house of God, the tabernacle of God. And the influence of that Holy Spirit within you, the Spirit of Truth, begins to renew your mind So you think in a godlike way instead of as you did before in the carnal or egocentric way. So when that happens to you, your behavior is very, very different. So first I'm going to go through the unregenerate heart and unrenewed mind, because that's what you see all around you. And it's good to identify it for what it is. And if you've already accepted salvation and you're really trying to live for God and please God and study His Word and model your behavior after Him, you can see that there's been transformation in these areas. And if not, then you know what the person needs, which is to accept Christ as their Savior, get themselves under the mantle of salvation. So first sign of an unregenerate and unrenewed mind is that unregenerated hearts are lovers of themselves. They're self-absorbed, self-focused, and in a word, selfish. Number two, they have no capacity for real love. Their love is a form of attachment to whatever pleasures and promotes and advances their personal needs, desires, and agendas. But it's impossible to have love from a person that hasn't been reborn and regenerated spiritually. Just, you know, trying to get love out of someone that has no capacity to give it is just totally pointless. That's why it says that light has no fellowship with darkness, and that we should never be unequally yoked in a marriage or in a relationship. Don't form an intimate relationship with someone who's not living for God if you want to live for God, because they'll pull you right down. You know, Satan will use them to pull you right down into the depths. So really, really watch who you align yourselves with in your relationships, particularly now. Number three, have a tremendous sense of pride and arrogance that simply will not allow them to admit that they are wrong, in need to confess their sins, to make amends for their wrongs, or to repent. They're just way too proud to recognize the need to bend their knee to anyone. And that includes God and Christ. So this pride and arrogance is what keeps them from hearing the Word, believing the Word, receiving the Word, and stepping free through grace. Number four, they're rebellious and anti-authoritarian. They refuse to acknowledge God or anyone as having any authority over them. They resent and rebel against the laws of man and God, common decency, and social propriety. They celebrate acts of rebellion that offend, outrage, and estrange them from any social mores and boundaries. Well, you sure see that today, don't you? Number five, they refuse to submit themselves and their lives and choices to any divine authority, and they are the first to mock, put down, ridicule, and revile the authority of the Bible, the need to repent, the need for godly counsel, attending church, obeying Christ, or being morally accountable for their lives and their behavior. Number six, they cannot understand anything of God. The Bible is incomprehensible to them, and so is their personal need of salvation. They are deaf to the gospel of salvation and dumb in being unable to confess Jesus as Lord. They can't go there without the Holy Spirit preparing their minds for salvation. So know that it's the Holy Spirit, it's God Himself who calls people to repentance and prepares them and then sends you or someone else into their lives to share the gospel with them. That's how people come to faith. Something comes into their life to present the gift of grace. Number seven, the unregenerate have no real love or empathy for anyone or anything. They have only lust and manipulation, which is self-serving. And this so-called love quickly turns to hatred and contempt as soon as they no longer are getting what they want. I wonder how these people who marry and promise they'll love each other for eternity, the next thing you know, they hate each other, they're having an ugly divorce. That's because it was all lust, all ego, all regenerate heart, and they weren't really loving. They weren't perhaps in a position where they even could love. So number 8, their mouths are filled with curse words and blasphemy of the names of God, criticism, complaint, spite, gossip, slander, and hatred. They're mean-spirited, and the hardness of their hearts is revealed in the cruelty and filth of their speech. That's the very first thing that the Holy Spirit transforms when you really have come to regeneration, repentance, and are truly reborn, is that your mouth really begins to, you just can't utter curse words anymore. The blasphemy of the names of God, you can't stand to have it even spoken in your presence. It's very offensive to you once the Holy Spirit has filled you. Number 9, they idolize death and destruction and relish anything that portrays violence, murder, horror, cruelty, and even rejoicing in the misfortune and suffering of others. Boy, you know, the other day I was looking at TV. Everything on TV was either a murder mystery, or it was destroyed in a second, or everything was based on death, chaos, war, and destruction. I couldn't find one thing on the television the other night that I could watch. Everything was this negative feeding frenzy on death and destruction. And, of course, this is all dark force-driven. You know, you become desensitized for any of the higher levels of consciousness by watching drivel like that. Number 10, they know neither honor nor respect and abuse everyone in their lives. They disrespect and dishonor their parents, their spouses, and they use fear, brutality, intimidation, and anger to control and manipulate others. 11, they have no loyalty. Their vows are all taken with no thought to keeping them whatsoever. They relish in clandestine affairs, adultery, and every form of deceit and lies. 12, they have no capacity for humility or selflessness in any form. They only do what serves them, what gratifies them and their senses, what gives them greater power, control, or authority over others, or what makes them more money. 13, they attract people who are just like them into their lives, which is why we are known by the company we keep. They align with others who are evil-minded and mean of intention, who love criminality and cruelty and rebellion. They call evil good, and things that are immoral they call right and proper, and they seek goodness and virtue as evil. Everything's kind of like cattywampus with the unredeemed, unregenerate heart. 14, when they constantly are ignoring their conscience and better instincts, they eventually sear and harden and blacken their hearts to where they no longer can even hear the voice of conscience. They become completely deaf and dumb and numbed towards anything higher. These are truly lost souls. They're like they're adrift upon the turbulent sea of life without any rudder or compass and no sense of direction. 15, you can see such people's nature reflected in even the smallest of their personal habits. The stench of uncleanliness and disorder and chaos is reflected in everything from their lack of hygiene and their appearance and the disorder in their homes and relationships. It's like, you know, one little rotten apple can make the whole bunch rotten, and one little good trait that is sown into a life can also spread through that whole life, the goodness. So, again, when you plant a seed, you're going to have a harvest. So people who are living in this manner now are the ones who are going to be left behind. They will not be progressing into the new fifth-dimensional Earth. I don't care how many Merkabas they have around them, how many masters they channel or listen to, how many books they've written, they will not be progressing. They will meet their end in the times ahead and will be cleansed from the Earth. And we're told by Sai Baba that that's going to be a very large number. So I think you really need to watch who you're hanging out with nowadays and be sure that they're worthy of your company and are worthwhile to spend time with. So it's probably too late to reach these people now, because everyone I've been told have been contacted in some manner, and they have heard the gospel message, and they have simply willfully chosen the path that they're currently walking. So it's going to be something you're going to have to deal with if you're involved with these kind of people. You're going to need to detach and remove yourself from their company. For evil corrupts everything it touches, just like mildew. And while you can continue to pray for their salvation, only God has the power to touch and transform their lives. So what I do when I'm working with people that are just willfully evil, not that I actually am not working with anyone who's willfully evil, but if you, for example, you see on the news somebody has really a nasty piece of work, you can pray that God will visit them with dreams and visions and an outrageous experience of His love, that they just be somehow encountering the love of God. And I find that's a very, very good prayer, because then they may have the opportunity to change. But other than that, I don't know anything that's going to do it. Now, what are the signs of a repentant and redeemed and renewed heart and mind? Well, number one, the heart and the entire nature become sensitive and soft and open to God and to others. And you experience such genuine love and empathy and compassion that, you know, and you just give it freely with no thought of return. It's like, I remember when I experienced that born-again experience, I fell in love with everything, everyone, and everything looked so beautiful to me. I was just in love, and that in-loveness didn't go away. It has remained now many, many years. So that's the first sign. Number two, you experience genuine, sincere, pure love, which is unconditional. You love that person like a dog loves its master. You know, you can kick that dog and beat that dog, and that dog will crawl up to you and lick your hand. It's unconditional. You know, Jesus said, you know, to His tormentors from the cross, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." You know, He didn't condemn. He didn't ever retaliate. He just said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Number three, you forgive quickly, and you cannot bear to harbor grievance or to hurt another. It just becomes so painful to be negative in any way that you just can't go there anymore. Number four, you truly love God and the things of God and want to be good and to please and honor God in every area of your life. That just, wow, you just don't take delight in the things that you used to before you were born again. You just don't like those same things. And things that you probably didn't like before, you find yourself really loving the things of God, the things that please God. Number five, you are humble and you see the good qualities in others. You don't pay all that much attention to yourself. You tend to see the areas you need to grow in, but you do see the good qualities in others. Number six, your speech is sweet, truthful, sincere, and honest, filled with praise and gratitude and good reports. And you cannot bear to hear God's name taken in vain or any kind of negative speech about anyone in your presence. I mean, you just have no patience for that kind of behavior anymore. Number 7, you only enjoy the company of fellow lovers of God who are also living God-honoring lives. You just have no interest in hanging out with people who are not living a God-honoring life. Number 8, you detest any form of cruelty and can't bear to watch people harming people or animals, even if it's just being portrayed in a movie. You have no taste for darkness in any form. Number 9, you are humble and teachable, always ready to be corrected and to improve your whole being in your walk with the Lord. You strive to please God and to do the right thing above all else. And you love truth and righteousness. And number 10, you have such a sensitive conscience that you absolutely avoid any activity that would be displeasing to God. So these are really powerful, powerful transformations that take place when you have put yourself in the hands of the Lord completely and sincerely, and you trust in Him to bring you through the times ahead, which He's promised He will, that He will deliver us from the days of wrath, the wrath to come, if we place ourselves fully and completely in His hands. Sai Baba said also that the people that truly love God and are God conscious will be protected during the times ahead. So whether we're lifted or raised in consciousness or beamed up or however that happens to manifest, because we really don't know, do we? We will be lifted and protected, and we will inherit the golden age upon the freshly renewed earth if we hang in there and stay vigilant and really do our very best to follow the Lord. You know, the Hopis say that aerial craft without wings is going to come and take them to other planets during the time of the earth cleansing and changing. So it's coming from all sides. It's coming from all kinds of prophets and different spiritual savants and seers. So we are in those times, and I want you to be as wise as you can be and at the same time as gentle as you can be. Because as we walk softly upon the earth, and we are a blessing to the earth, the very land underneath our feet will be blessed, will be the anchoring of God's kingdom as we press ourselves softly upon the surface of the earth, as the footfall of our body is one of love, is one of reverence for all life, is one of tender regard for our fellow beings. Don't you think the earth itself will provide a safe harbor for you if you live in that kind of a consciousness? I know it takes vigilance. We've been told that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So as long as we're in an earth body with an earth mind in the third dimension, we're going to have to be, again, very attentive, like Chris Angel walking through that minefield. We've got to train ourselves to walk that straight, narrow path and keep our eyes steadfastly upon the Lord in unconditional love and faith and trust. And if we do that, we will find ourselves in the most glorious time that you could possibly imagine. Because, wow, we're told that eye has not seen, nor has any mind conceived of what God has prepared for those who love Him. So let's love God as Jesus told us to, with all our hearts, all our mind, all our strength. And let's love one another as our own selves, because only in that way can we say that we are God's people. We are known by our love one for another. So God bless each one of you. These shows are weekly transmissions, seminars from the High Command of the Ashtar Galactic Command and the great, great, great Central Sun hierarchies and that which we call the Cosmic Solar Christos, which is the heart of the heart of the Christ in the great Central Sun. I am very honored to speak to you, the ground crew of the Ashtar Command. The Ashtar Command as a whole is an alliance of men and women who are consecrated to the Christ and work with him in his mission of redemptive love to planet Earth and to other planets in the many mansion realms and worlds of Almighty God. So, again, all of our love and blessings to you. We pray strength and faith and the ability to persevere during the times ahead, whatever they may be, that you will have the measure of faith that you need to meet each circumstance and be victorious over it. Let us send a united prayer of light for Haiti, for every man, woman, and child, for every animal, for every life form. We speak strength, endurance, faith, supernatural peace, supernatural provision, supernatural joy, supernatural miraculous interventions, miracles, healings, transformations, salvations. May people turn to God with a devotion and a fervor that they've never had before. And we pray for the strength of all of the many people who are there serving in every capacity. May angels attend them and strengthen them. May the Holy Spirit hover over every single operating theater, every single place where people are suffering and being born and dying and going through all of the various things as they wind through their experience of this crisis. And as we go out chanting the hue, let's just send it with pure, unconditional, neutral, divine love to bless Haiti, and also this entire planet, and every single life form upon it. May light, love, power, and the Christ restore the divine plan on Earth and be present, manifesting through all of us who will embrace of it. Deep breath. You. Tonight, maybe because I have a little extra time, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. So if you would like to take this opportunity to turn your life over to Christ, you may do so. You can just repeat after me if you want to, or you can take the prayer as a guideline of how you might be able to turn your life over yourself when you have a private moment after I'm off the air. But just take a moment, if you haven't already done so, or if you already have. Lord Jesus, I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I ask you to wipe my soul clean and white as snow as I repent sincerely for all the sins and errors that I have ever done. At any time, I'm deeply sorry, and I receive your atoning, cleansing blood over my whole life, washing me white as snow. I thank you for a new life and a new heart and a new strength and a new resolve as I am restored back to my divine sonship, as I once again become a conscious child of God, as I recognize God as my Father, and I began the first day of the rest of my life. I thank you that as I have offered my life to you and ask you to take the driver's seat and to be the Lord and the director and the teacher and the mentor and the one who decides my future, the one who takes charge of me, and whatever I need to prepare for and be ready for, please help me to be ready for the rapture. Please help me to be everything that I have as a potential that you have planned for me, that you have designed me to be. Help me to move into all of that. I also ask that my whole household be turned to faith, that everyone in my family will come to know you as Lord, that we may all be readied and prepared for this time of rapture or ascension or however it is that you wish to deliver us from the world that will be cleansed very soon and is in fact being cleansed now. I ask for protection of my family and my household as I consecrate my house, my life, my heart, my future, and everything to you and to your guidance. I am your child, and now the angels have written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and are rejoicing as I become seated by you in the heavenly realms, even now while I still live upon earth, where I co-rule and co-reign with you and with the Father. And I thank you that as I cross out of this form in one form or another, I will go directly to you, and you will take me all the way home. I thank you, Jesus. I love you. And I'm so grateful that I have a new life, and I am born again. Amen. So, I guess that's it for this evening. And, one other thing I wanted to share. That, sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you feel a little out of sorts, it's because you're still out of your body doing work on the inner planes. So just give yourself a few, a little time to come back in, have your morning drink, and don't be overly concerned if you wake up grumpy or out of sorts or you're feeling fearful or negative. You've just come probably in from spending the night working in Haiti or some other area where people are in dire need. So be kind to yourself, take good care of yourself, and be very patient with your physical elemental who has to keep the home fires burning while you're out as a spirit doing work for God on the inner planes. Just know that you're a multidimensional being, and we do a lot more than meets the eye that seems apparent in our physical lives. So, God willing, I will be with you the same time next week. And until then, walk with the Lord and be full of love and joy because you are the gift that you came to give. Adonai.